This is Relevant in Rome, a weekly podcast from the Vatican with Relevant Radio Rome correspondent Ashley Nerona. Now here's the latest on Pope Francis and all that's happened in Rome this week.
We go live to Rome for the Pope's general weekly audience, not outside in St. Peter's Square, but in the Paul VI Audience Hall. Ashley Nerona is our Vatican correspondent. Ashley, good morning. Good to have you back on. The Pope's catechesis today on this week, we were just talking about it with Bishop Dealey from Portland, Maine, this week of prayer and Christian unity, and talking about the theme of hospitality.
That's right, John. I am so happy to be with you today, coming to you from a sunny, beautiful Rome. And yes, this focusing on that week of prayer for Christian unity, and specifically the theme, they showed us kindness, and the idea of hospitality. So today's catechesis during the papal audience focused on that exact same theme, looking specifically at Acts chapter 28, verse 2, and when St. Paul was shipwrecked on the island of Malta. Well, he received a very warm, hospitable welcome, as well as his companions. So this was pointed out that it was a contrast to the violence that they had just endured on the sea. Instead, they received what the Pope called today an unusual kindness. And then St. Paul went on to, quote, repay that kindness. He healed many sick people. And through those actions, the Maltese people experienced God's merciful love. So today, the conversation concluded with the idea that hospitality is an important ecumenical virtue during this week of Christian unity, and it shows that all Christians are brothers and sisters. And speaking of unexpected visitors and hospitality, John, I have to tell you that in the middle of today's audience, right there in the front of the Paul VI Audience Hall, a little boy, maybe he was about 3, he managed to walk by himself. He got away from his mother. The guards didn't even see him pass. And he walked up those palatial white marble stairs, stood there kind of gawking at everything that was going on, at the audience, at the Pope, at the Swiss guards, at everything around him. He seemed to be a little overwhelmed by it for a moment, just sort of fell down, picked himself right back up, and walked on down the steps. So I am quite sure that story is going to be told for generations in that family, John.
I bet. We'll be looking for that video. That should go viral today. Ashley Nerona, our Vatican correspondent here at 23 before the hour on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And in addition to what's happening in the church and, of course, the comments from the Holy Father in his weekly audience, Ashley brings us a lot of news of what's happening in Rome and Italy. And occasionally those are some odd stories.
Well, you know, you can always count on us over here in Italy to provide some color, as you say, John.
Indeed. And what's the colorful story that you have for us today? And this is one that was like, when Ashley was telling me, I said, you want to talk about that on the radio? She said, yeah. And I said, okay, it's a little odd, but it indeed happened.
This one is for the books, as they say. So this is based on a court ruling that just came out yesterday. But the story goes all the way back to 2015. And what happened was a CCTV, a closed caption camera, captured a police officer clocking in for work wearing nothing but his undergarments. You see, he actually, his home, his family home, his apartment was in the same building as the police station. So he clocked in and then went upstairs, got dressed, etc. He, on various occasions, would send his daughter down to clock in for him. Well, you can imagine that incited an interesting nationwide conversation, as specifically focused on a word the Italians use. It's fannulloni, and if we translate it, it basically means slackers. And they refer specifically in this case to the slackers who work for various government offices and take advantage of those positions. So there have been various stories in the time that I've been living here, John. For example, there was a man who was caught because he worked for the city as a bus driver. Every day he would go and he would pick up his bus and he would then park it in a local parking lot and carry on a second job. So this problem of people holding down second jobs is sadly not a rarity. So the whole country started this conversation about it, and finally, 5 years later, this has gone to court. Now, this is all happening in San Remo. San Remo is up north in the LaGuardia area, and yesterday, the court released its decision that they felt that getting dressed in the morning is absolutely part and parcel of one's civic duty. So they absolutely ruled on the side of this police officer, and that it was perfectly legitimate for him to clock in his undergarments and to take it from there. So you can imagine the social media conversations that are happening right now as people are trying to make some sense of this. He's not the only one involved, because this major investigation has swept up about 30 other public officials from San Remo, and they're also looking at their behavior. So, you know, there's always talk about the Italian, shall we say, nonchalant work ethic. But now you probably can see why, John.
Indeed. Indeed. Some color from Italy this morning from Ashley Nerona, our Vatican correspondent, at 19 minutes before the hour. Yesterday was the beautiful Feast of St. Agnes, and I know the Holy Father kept up a tradition on that feast day of St. Agnes, didn't he?
Yes, he sure did. You know, it's such a beautiful tradition. It's the tradition of the blessing of the lambs. Now, why the lambs? What's the significance? So, actually, if we look at the name of this young Roman martyr, Agnes, it comes from the Greek hagios, which means purity, chastity. Now, she was only about 13 years old when she was put to death here in Rome. That was in the early 4th century. And we know about her from, a lot of what we know about her is from the writings of St. Ambrose to his sister Marcellina, telling her story. There was great devotion that rose around this brave young martyr who refused to deny Christ but was willing to give her life. Eventually, she was martyred by decapitation. So it's the idea that in the similar way that lambs are killed, she too received that mark on her neck. Now, Agnes, of course, means lamb. So, starting from the 4th century, there's evidence that a tradition developed that pilgrims would place little lambs on her feast day, the 21st of Jan every year, on her very tomb. Now, she was buried in a church that's called St. Agnes Outside the Walls here in Rome. Of course, it was very much outside the walls when we're talking, you know, these ancient times, but today, as the city has sprawled, it's not very, it's just a hop, skip, and a jump away. So the tradition has continued that every year these lambs would be brought to the grave, but the tradition has actually changed just a touch since the late 1800s, where the Sisters of the Holy Family of Nazareth, they now will take two little lambs every year for her feast day. They dress them up in special little cloaks. One is red in memory of the martyrdom of St. Agnes. The other cloak is white in memory of her virginity. And then they place little wreaths on these little lambs' heads and small bows on their ears. And then they are taken for a special blessing. So the Pope actually blesses these lambs. And then there's a special mass that happens at the Basilica of St. Agnes outside the walls. Now, from there, these lambs will be shorn, and their wool is going to be used to create the palli. Now, palli is plural of the word pallium. And this is the liturgical vestment that denotes jurisdiction. It's an honorary vestment, and it's given to metropolitan archbishops. Now, if you've ever wondered what it's made of, it's actually it's a white wool band that is created from the very wool of these little blessed lambs. Now, it's placed over the shoulders of these metropolitan archbishops, and there are 6 black silk crosses. And it's garnished then with 3 pins, these jeweled cross pins. And so what happens is that the Pali themselves, after they are now being put together by the sisters, they will be placed on the tomb of St. Peter in the Basilica of St. Peter. And on the 29th of June, on the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul, the Pope will bless them, and then they will be given to the Apostolic Nuncios from around the world to be given to the new Metropolitan Archbishops
sure.
to especially note their seats. So a beautiful tradition happening over here in Bella Roma, John.
Indeed. Ashley Nerona is our Vatican correspondent, and she's an American living in Rome who teaches crisis communications and media training to priests and seminarians. And, of course, you hear Ashley talk about her husband, John, and they have founded the Truth and Beauty Project, and that provides Renaissance-style theological formation for visitors to Rome. Much more on truthandbeautyproject.com, truthandbeautyproject.com. Ashley, all the best to John. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week from Rome.
I look forward to it. God bless you. Take care.
Relevant in Rome is your weekly connection to the Vatican. Listen to live reports from Rome with Ashley Nerona every Wednesday morning at 7:30 Eastern, 6:30 Central on Morning Air. And listen right here next week to Relevant in Rome for the latest on Pope Francis and news from the Vatican.